5 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of March of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We, you know, I wouldn't screw with Lisa either. She punches you in the throat, your throat is going to stay punched.
Seriously.
The Rick Emerson Show. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. It's Tuesday, and welcome. It's day 12. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program in whatever fashion, for whatever reason, with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. I've been told I can only use this quote out of context by whoever it was that said this. In no way am I going to reveal the person who used this quote, because that would be wrong. I've been told that I can only repeat this quote, which was heard aloud in the AM 970 studios just minutes ago. I can only repeat this devoid of any context. Quote was, and again, I will not reveal the person who used this phrase. It would be ungentlemanly of me to do so. This phrase is someone, could have been anybody, could have been Dan Bozic. Maybe it was. This phrase that someone uttered aloud in the AM 970 studios minutes ago. Quote, I've been on a date in the back of your tour bus before. End quote, said Dan Bozic, or someone, moments ago. There you go. You can just do whatever you want with that. Like a reverse Mad Libs thing. You just really put that in whatever contest you like in your head. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's program on the telephone. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. People inexplicably calling already. Maybe I'll take those calls. Maybe I won't. We'll see. What else do we have? We have great news today. And by great news, I mean a story about a woman who had her buttocks sucked away.
What?
A woman who had her buttock. I'm sorry.
Buttock?
Well, just one, not the whole thing. She looked down and one of her buttocks was gone. Except she's in Britain, so I think they call it half of her bum. But there's a woman who had half of her. This is on top of the woman who had her umbilical stump wither away to nothing yesterday. because she let a guy give her a 3-day operation in 4 hours. Anyway. Hey, my buttock has been sucked away. We'll get that today. I think we have the audio for the Tonya Harding 911 call. And I'm unclear. I just heard a little bit of the phone call. I'm unclear about whether she's claiming, I think, this is already the best show ever. She's claiming in this, I think, that someone is, I may be wrong about this. I apologize if I'm misrepresenting the nature of Tonya Harding's emergency call to the 911 service. God bless 911. Aren't you glad that they keep those things on tape and that they release them to the public? Just think of all the entertainment we've had over the years because of the 911 calls. I'm pretty sure she calls 911 to report that squirrels are burying handguns in her yard. I might be wrong about that. It might not be squirrels. But she was being menaced by some kind of animal, and then there was somebody lurking around with a high-powered rifle. I think they were one and the same. So we've got that. What else? Democracy on the March coming up today. Now with more bosoms. We also have a snuff watch coming up today. Scotty J has created a top five for us. Top five Jane songs of all time. For reasons that are really lost to me. I don't really know why. I just sort of asked him if he wanted to put one together, and that's what he came up with. We will do the top five Jane songs of all time from Scotty J. What else? CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to join us today. We're talking about Phil Spector, who I think... So they started the jury selection yesterday, but I don't really care about that. All I care about is the fact that if Phil Spector, Jackson-style today, just showed up with brand-new hair. His weird Ludwig von Beethoven hair is gone, and it's been replaced with this sort of, this kind of like a Prince Valiant, this like page boy kind of a thing. So we'll talk about that. Naomi Campbell has gone from the beating people to having to pick up trash, and I don't really care about Naomi Campbell. I don't really care about trash being picked up. But when you put the two together, it becomes a thing I care about a whole lot. So we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum in New York about her today, and we will have speaks, as the British say, with Lisa Goddard. So that is all coming up. It's 503-733-2970. Before we do anything else, let's see who these people are calling about. Hello, sir.
Hi,
you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
I wanted to ask you, do you remember or did you view the Al Capone vault by Geraldo Rivera some 20 years ago?
I did indeed.
At the time, when it was open, there's nothing in there. Did you not have a streak of feeling in you that said, like, wow, he's genuine? He really didn't know what the heck was in there.
Why are you... Now, I'll answer the question in a second, but really, why are you calling about this?
I'm just out here in Baker County, and I had it on my mind.
It's just not a lot to do. That's like that whole streak, which was great, by the way, but at the end of yesterday's program, we had about 14 minutes at the end of yesterday's show where it was just a whole random series of guys calling up with pop culture questions that they wanted me to ask.
I have one of those skills.
Okay, well, we'll do that second. So that was pretty great. It was sort of a stump the movie douche kind of a thing, but with me and on a different station. The Al Capone's vault, we never did play the audio. Maybe we'll do that today just for no readily apparent reason, apropos of nothing, as they say. Al Capone's vault, which was the 20, you know who was there? We've talked about this. Susan Reynolds was, I'm pretty sure Susan Reynolds was there. I say, and as I say that now, maybe I'm not so sure. She was either there, literally there on the scene, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru Susan Reynolds, she was either literally there as he opened Al Capone's vault, or her station was carrying it live. And she did live in Chicago at the time, so we'll have to figure it out. Anyway, Al Capone had this vault underneath some hotel in Chicago, blah, 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 blah. He's dead. You flash forward to like 1987, I think it was. Al Capone decides he's going to crack open the vault, which has never been, you know, hadn't been opened since 1930-something, see what's inside of it. Huge, and then just a huge implosion, just a whole lot of nothing. I mean, the implosion would have been more interesting. It was a wine bottle, I think, was the only thing, wine bottle and lots of dirt.
And he just turned to the camera with like a whoa, type of look on his
face. Oh no, you can tell that he thought it was going to be genius. That they figured there was going to be dead bodies. They figured there was going to be money. There was going to be a car. Goddamn wine bottle inside. There's all these pounds.
I was just a kid, but I remember my family going, what a buffoon. And I thought, yeah, but the guy, he's legitimate. I mean, everyone else would have just staged it, right? But he didn't know. He really didn't know what was in there.
You know, I will say this, and it's early in the program for us to be sidetracked by my musings and ruminations about Geraldo Rivera, but I will say this, and I mean this unironically, and I've meant this for a long time, and I'm going to say this now before it's fashionable. In 20 years, everyone will say this. I like Geraldo Rivera. I like Geraldo Rivera a lot. I think he's a great guy. I think he's funny. I think he's entertaining. And I think he has a great flair for showmanship. I really do think that he has good journalistic instincts. And you're right. He didn't want to fake it. He did the real deal on television. And he ate crap live on TV in front of like 200 million people. And he just lived with it. He lived with it and he bounced back. And he wrote a fantastic autobiography in which he talked about having sex with Bette Midler by the side of the road leading into Vegas, hanging out the driver's side of his car. So
for journalists, how much cooler can you get?
Seriously, and he's got a huge mustache, and I'm pretty sure that he either had sex or tried to have sex with Yoko Ono at one point, like a month after John Lennon was dead. So you got to give him your style points for that.
You asked why I was thinking about that. I was in Baker County. The chain of thoughts was I was trying to find anything I could on the radio, and was only able to come up with like some Christian broadcasts, a bunch of Christian radio, and then I started to think about a racist because they were talking about immigration. A racist thing. I only have a problem with Mexicans, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then Geraldo Rivera on the stage grabbing that guy's throat. You remember that?
I remember him being a this would be no, the whole no, Geraldo
no,
festival.
No, right. The other guy grabbed his, anyway, that whole melee.
Which, did you have a question quickly before you go, sir?
Is Tonya, I don't have any of the internet. Is Tonya Harding still a Bremelo?
Well, in what sense? Do you mean is she still, does she still have wid?
I don't know. I was thinking you'd be losing my signal by now.
Oh, well, really? You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Please?
Wait, hold on.
No, it's a, there we go. Thank you.
Oh, Susan has confirmed. We totally have to have her come talk about this. Susan Reynolds has confirmed I was at the opening of Al Capone's vault. She says, I was at the biggest non-event of the last 20 years. That's fantastic. It's weird, just the twists and turns that you take. The life would just be so bizarre and interwoven that you would end up working about 15, because she's like two doors down from me, that you would end up working with somebody who was at the opening of Al Capone's vault. Life is goddamn weird is what it is. All right, we'll talk about that in a few. It's 503-733-2970. We're here with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Nah.
Something wrong today?
No.
Is this because of your flightiness and tiny brain?
Maybe because I don't pay attention to detail of every conversation that I have.
Is this because you're inconsiderate in conversations that you have with people in your day-to-day existence?
Yes.
Okay. How are you? How are things?
Little girls, man. I'm good.
Yeah,
we're not specifying anything.
Let's not dwell. Just gonna say that. Really, here's why I'm in favor of women being in the workplace. This is why I'm in favor of it, apart from the obvious. It's a good idea to keep women busy, because when they're not busy, they just degenerate into it just degenerates into a pecking party. And you know this is true. We won't specify what's going on. I'm just gonna say that as Sarah can tell you, any three women left alone for any length of time in any place, in any country of the world, especially now in the era of instant messaging, it just degenerates into like one bad episode of Degrassi Junior High. You know what I mean? So, all right. Well, in any event. Yeah. You look very nice today.
Well, thank you. I rode my bike.
Yeah, I did
I'm
not.
Feeling, I know. Well, I'm feeling a little, I'm not going to get sick. I'm feeling a little like I might be getting sick. No, my glands are kind of swelling and my sinuses hurt.
You know why? It's because they're filled with pus. That's why that happens.
Ew.
It's true. You're filled with pus right now and about 5 feet away from me, so I feel good about that.
Oh, thanks. Well, I really do think it's just allergies. It doesn't feel like a cold.
I also, and I left my Claritin in my glove box at home, so of course I'm completely effed on that front today. I left it safe and secure in the glove box in my car where I can't access it or use it in any way. So, and I did not bicycle. I woke up late today, so I got to work late, and then on top of that, I drove that big-ass truck, which it just, you know, and it was fine, which we have because, because Lara does stuff. She goes hiking, and she goes to the gorge and the outdoors and whatever. But, man, that truck, it's not an SUV, but it is a truck, and you can just see the gas gauge just dropping as you drive. I mean, it just takes like $500,000 to fill that thing up, and it just makes me feel like an ass every time I drive it. And on top of that, I just feel all fat and bloated because I didn't bicycle in today. And I didn't bicycle in, and yet I'm sweating like a pig regardless. So it's like the worst of all possible worlds.
It is really weird. Every time you get in here, you're all sweaty.
I know. Because I'm right underneath this big-ass light here. All right. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
There's a lot of stuff going on. First, who says there's no revenge? A Milwaukee man who won the $182 million Powerball jackpot? He lost $400,000 in the Enron collapse.
Bam!
A Skamania County man who tasered a grandma gets probation and is fined $750. Well, nobody seems to care that Saddam's vice president was hung yesterday. A new poll claims Americans are getting tired of war. What could be more un-American than that?
Why do they hate America?
And Barack Obama tells Larry King he and his people had nothing to do with the Hillary video. They don't have the technical expertise over there to do that.
He and his people?
Yeah.
What people are those, Tim?
His campaign assistants.
Oh, all right.
They're a coalition of rainbow people.
I think, people have a cough button in this business, like a cough button to let you like that. I need a snort button. I need a huge button labeled snort. It allows me to bleep myself whenever it is I'm going to do it. All right, well, we'll talk more about that Hillary ad here in just a few. He and his people they don't have any technical ability at all. They got like a little old Commodore computer.
Not an Amiga.
Running a stamp pad. And one of those like gray magic erase tablets with the red plastic pen that your parents would get you a Safeway for a dollar.
They can't do that.
That's all they've got. Running their whole operation on a Tandy. All right. Do you ever see, and when I say you, I mean geeks, do you ever see a business that you thought was gone for a long time and then suddenly out of nowhere you realize they still exist? I went to see 300 this weekend. I'm not going to get bogged down because I talked about seeing 300 yesterday, but I went to see 300 this last weekend at Cinetopia. And, you know, they do the thing at the beginning, some depending at the theater. Sometimes it's THX, sometimes it's Dolby, sometimes it's whatever. But they roll the little, you know, the little trailer that tells you what kind of sound system it is you're watching and, you know, what, who presents, you know, who's presenting the sound and vision quality control of the theater that you are in, and THX is the best known of those. But I'm in Cinetopia, and it says, you know, you are watching a digital picture. You know, and there's a whole bunch of, like, whatever happening on the screen. And then I swear to God, at the end, it says, from Texas Instruments. And people who are my age remember Texas Instruments. I mean, I thought that company was dead and buried. I thought that the company was gone like 25 years ago, but apparently not. They live on in theater sound design. Speaking of theaters, let's talk a little bit about our friends at KGW and the movie screw they were reporting on last night. Now, if you were listening to the Rick Emerson Show yesterday, as you should have been, and by the way, it is 11:15. We have a, we should probably do it before we break here. We have a big announcement we're going to do. We should probably do that inside this segment. We won't do it right now at this very moment. We'll do it here before we break, though. So we'll do that. But if you were listening to the Rick Emerson Show yesterday, you heard us talking about this. Tim found this great new. You can see this at rickemerson.com, by the way. Several people were kind enough to send us a screen capture of this. KGW.com reporting that the Broadway Bridge was going to be closed because of, and I'm quoting now, and this is just one of like 15 different journalistic and grammatical errors that I found within these. I don't know where it is that they get their so-called reporters from. Never mind. Anyway, the reporting that the Broadway Bridge was going to be closed last night due to, I'm quoting now, a movie screw. Which they did. They did then rectify. Now, there is some debate about whether or not the photograph they show up there is the Broadway Bridge or whether it's the Hawthorne Bridge.
Yes, there has been some debate.
There has been some debate. I want to clarify right now at the very outset of this that we're never going to admit that we were wrong about anything. So yep. You can quit sending us corrections. It doesn't matter.
Because all we care about, the picture doesn't really matter. All we care about is it says it was closed for a movie screw.
And even if the picture doesn't matter, we're not ever going to correct ourselves.
I think that we should find a story on KGW every day and call the newsroom and talk to that charming man.
So we can get him on the air.
Yeah.
I should call every day and tell them how to reference their AP style book and how to correctly identify things in their articles. Just in case, if you are out there deciding to go into journalism for whatever godforsaken reason, let me remind you.
Look at you nitpicking. I'm looking at this.
I don't know, and I want to go back to that page and see if they've corrected it. Well, the story's probably gone by now because it was a one-day story only.
It was gone last night.
Was it?
Really? It was gone by the time I got home last night.
That's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll live forever at rickemerson.com. You can go there right now and see a screen capture of yesterday's KGW page where they were noting that a, quote, movie screw was going to be closing the Broadway Bridge.
Did anybody go to that last night?
I would like to say that if you are a journalist, movie titles are supposed to be italicized. They are not put within quotations. According to your very own goddamned AP style book, which is and libel manual, which
I
is probably
classes.
I never took those classes and I know how to do it. Song titles are put in the quotation marks. Movie titles are italicized. Also, you should be using the serial or Oxford comma before the second item in a list of. Never mind. Anyway, so we're talking about that. We've got this guy. Let's see, Rick. So several people forwarded the movie screw thing to Letterman and Leno and blah, 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 blah. But we've got this. Rick, I shouldn't say who this is, but he's a friend of ours who works with a lot of film crews. Rick, I just got done rigging the bridge for the lights and artificial rain for the Untraceable film. Yes, I was part of last night's movie screw. Here is the plot. Diane Lane is an FBI agent that tracks down a serial killer played by Colin Hanks. He kills people by rigging contraptions.
Oh, he's cute. I like him.
Having it screened on the internet. I don't even see. Tom Hanks' kid?
Yeah, he was in Orange County and a few other movies.
Do you find Tom Hanks to be attractive?
No.
Is that just because you grew up with him and he's a goof?
Like, you didn't know who he was. At one point he was.
He's got like the curly hair.
In Joe vs. Volcano, I thought he was kind of cute.
Okay.
Or Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. He says, we built a cool-looking old diner under the bridge, and some action will take place on the bridge. This film sounds like it will have the curse. Oregon film movies do well only if they have kids, a.k.a. Goonies. Stand by me. Let's see. You probably don't want to use my name. Also, there's supposed to be a series coming to town and an Ed Harris movie in August, he says. And then we've got a couple Tanya things that we'll get to. This guy says, Rick, I'm watching Leno to see if the movie screw makes it into the show, and Jay Leno just did a great Tanya Harding joke. He said he was talking about her... This is pretty funny. Much as I don't like Jay Leno, he was talking about her recent 911 call and said if the cops were afraid it would turn into a high-speed chase, so they shot out the tires of her house. And finally, we have this. This guy says, do not use my name or identify the place I work, okay? So this guy, anonymous, who works wherever, he says, there's a guy here, presumably at his workplace, there's a guy here who used to date Tanya Harding. This morning, the police showed up looking for him, but he wasn't here. They didn't stay long. On the one hand, she just had that whole 911 thing happen, so there could be something more to her delusion than we all think. On the other hand, he is the type who would sleep with Tanya Harding, so he could be wanted by the police on just about anything from necrophilia to armed robbery. Just a thought. Thought you would like to know. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right. So there's that. God, it's like 20 after already. See if I have time to get to any of these other things before we do the announcement. I'm just going to say this. I will say this one more, this one final thing, and then we'll do the announcement. I don't know how to put this on my website. I'm like Barack Obama. I lack any sort of technique. My people don't know how to. I'm going to start referring. I don't even have any people, but I'm going to start using that phrase all the time. My people lack the ability to put this JPEG on any kind of website. We have Scotty. He's the people. He's a people person. I don't know how to put this up there, but this is... It's weird to think that you still get faxes. As Douglas Copeland once said, getting a fax is like getting an email from 1989. It doesn't... I got this publicity fax today, or rather Dennis Pitzenbarger didn't. He ran up and thrust it into my hand like an obedient puppy. Dude, you got to see this. It's an ad for this... Has anybody seen the Gene Simmons Family Jewels show? It's like the Gene Simmons, it's like a reality show where they follow him and his family around.
No, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's like the Osbournes, but it's Gene Simmons. It's him and Shannon Tweed, and then his kid. Boy, you know, being Gene Simmons' kid must just be the best life on earth. Being Gene Simmons' kid has got to be second only to being Hugh Hefner's kid. I mean, really, I can't think of any... If you could pick somebody to be born to... I mean, if you were a guy, it would have to be Gene Simmons. And then he's got a daughter. That's got to be weird. It's got to be weird being Gene Simmons' daughter, too. It's got to be weird being... It has to be weird to be the offspring of someone who has had sex with, like, 100,000 women or whatever. Whatever it is. That's just... Especially if you're a teenage boy. Like, if you're some horned-up 17-year-old boy, and you've got a dad who's known for having had sex with however many women, 20,000 or whatever the hell it is, I keep getting Gene Simmons and Will Chamberlain confused. It's just got to be strange. Well, strange, I guess, is not the word. Anyway, and your mom was in Playboy? That's got to be bizarre, too. Well, whatever. Anyway, so there's this Gene Simmons Family Jewels show. And apparently the season premiere, which is coming up this Sunday, I say, giving them free publicity. The season premiere this coming Sunday. Apparently, Gene Simmons has plastic surgery done. And apparently, they actually have the cameras in the operating room while Gene Simmons is getting plastic surgery done. And I have to say, this is the most disturbing photograph. Have you seen it?
I saw it yesterday, and I had to scurry on by it.
He doesn't even look like him. First of all,
Does it look like a shrunken, mummified head?
It does. And look, now, I don't have to give my Gene Simmons bona fides. Everyone knows that I love Gene Simmons. I'm a member of the Kiss Army and so forth and blah, blah, blah. I'm a big, overgrown, retarded adolescent. You should never see Gene Simmons like this. And John Malkovich says, I have seen what no man should see. It's just wrong. He's all bald and puffy and greasy. And look, in Kiss circles, I don't know if this is well known, there's the most horrifying photo floating around out there that I saw on the internet a while back. It was for either Gene or Paul's 40th anniversary. I think it was Gene's. It was Gene's 40th anniversary. And there's a photograph somewhere. It was taken at, like, the Kiss offices. And it's a Paul Stanley. I'm a 34-year-old man. I'm an adult. I understand the way things work. I understand the way of the world. I understand what's real, what's fantasy, what's fake, what's not. It doesn't matter. There are certain things that one likes to keep idealized and flawless inside one's head. There are certain things you just don't want to know. It's like that whole thing about, if you're dating somebody, you just don't want to see them pee. You know what I mean? It's just, you just prefer not to. It's like, I don't plan on having children. It's not for me. But I'm saying, God forbid, God forbid. You ever with somebody, you have children, you don't want to go into the operating room, the delivery room and see that. Thank you, no, I'll pass. Certain, I'm a romantic. Certain things are not meant to be seen. Among the things that are not meant to be seen, and this is the kiss photograph that came out a while back.
Yeah, I couldn't even put it on my website. I just didn't want to look at it.
There's this photograph that my friend Todd and I found, and it was so horrifying to us. It was Paul Stanley presenting it's really gay. It was Paul Stanley presenting Gene Simmons with a 40th birthday cake. And there's Gene Simmons, and it's like a candid photo. It's just taken around the office, like at Kiss Incorporated or whatever. And it's just Gene in, like, boxer shorts and a T-shirt, no wig. So he's just, you know, on top, no hair, just kind of overweight, you know, and just, it just looks like some schlump. I mean, just kind of looks like Ron Jeremy, you know, but not quite as sexy. And and then there's Paul giving him a birthday cake, and it's just the weirdest, and I mean...
That's a little bizarre.
And it is, as my friend Todd said, it is a moment of reckoning for a man. As you transition from adolescence to adulthood, when you must face the fact that Gene Simmons, the blood-spitting, fire-breathing, levitating god of thunder, is really just a fat, bald Jewish man. That really is just the reality.
Stings a little?
It does. It hurts. And so this photograph is so much worse than that. And I know that this is why he sent it out. He's no stooge. He sent it out because he wanted people to talk about it, and here I am. So if somebody is able to capture and send to me this photograph of Gene Simmons post-plastic surgery, which is real. I mean, it's real. It's not a fake. This is a press release from A&E. If you can send that to me, I'd like to post it on my site so that I need not suffer alone. It's just horrifying. Gene Simmons should never be photographed like this. This is ruining my childhood memories by the dozens every second. Oh, apparently it's dual facelift operations. Yeah. Gene Simmons and Shannon Tweed are making television history, the first celebrity couple to allow cameras in the operating room for their dual facelift operations.
I can't even bear to talk about it.
All right. Well, do we have time for the announcement here, or do we have to break? Making the people wait. You're a bad person, Sarah Dillon.
I just want to cram it in there.
This is why...
I've
been on a date in the back of your tour bus before.
I can't believe Dan Bozick said that.
Yes.
So weird.
You know, this attitude is why no one likes you, Sarah. That and your flightiness and tiny brain. All right.
A new brain!
It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Big announcement after the break. Then Lisa Goddard. You say that's the Rick Emerson Show. Publish button right now. Putting the Gene Simmons photo. Thank you to whoever the hell Jenny. Jenny sent this. Let me see if it's posted here. All right, there you go. You go to rickemerson.com right now. I posted this picture of Gene Simmons. You're right. It really does look like a shrunken head. I hadn't really thought about that. And there's some sort of bag-like things that I guess are there to. After some kind of oozing liquid as it comes out of his face, that's no good. You know, there's good, disgusting Gene Simmons, which is sort of when he's just covered in blood and sweat. And then there's this. This is something different. So go to rickemerson.com right now, and you can see the picture of Gene Simmons. All right. It's, follow me, see if I'm done with this. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just a few. We'll talk to our good friend Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio on the Capitol Hill. Later on, we got Steve Kastenbaum from New York City. We have Jim Roop coming up from Los Angeles and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And then, well, we should just do the... I'm just sorting through some of this stuff that Tim has handed me here. Is this from you, Tim, taking the tour out of spring cleaning?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you so much.
What's a talk show without such topics?
Seriously. Guest. It's a subject line of the email that Tim got. That's all it says. No, guest, all caps. That's sort of, it's like a generic guest. That's sort of like the stuff you buy in the beer. What is this? Dog food. It says in all caps, guest. Good morning. The weather is starting to break. And believe it or not, spring officially springs Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Time to clean out the garage, says this guest inducement thing, which will have no effect, and spruce up the rest of the house. Angie Hicks of Angie's List is available to share her advice for getting... Really? Do people actually book such guests? Do you people actually book guests about how to get a jump on your spring cleaning? For love of God Almighty. All right. Well, I'm going to give up. No. And then
maybe we should send that over to KGW.
Except they call it Angie's Lust or something. And the person who's... And I'm just going to drill that into the ground for as long as I can. And by the way, just before I do this announcement... But the people who are sending me the criticism about my use of my referencing of the AP style guide, I do understand that the AP style, I'm now speaking to less than 1% of the audience, and that's why I'm going to keep this brief. I do understand that the
I've
AP...
I've never regretted it.
No, because why would you? Because it's pointless. The AP style book and libel manual, which is a thing that they make aspiring journalists print and otherwise.
It's for followers, not for leaders.
That's exactly. We make our own law and our own grammatical rules here. The AP style book... It does, in fact, tell you to eschew or avoid the Oxford or serial comma when listing things, but that's because they're retards. So I choose to follow on this matter the British who invented the language. That's what I do. Also, the AP style book. Sarah, how do you spell the word advisor?
A-D-V-I-S-O-R.
See, that's what I'm saying. You would think that's how everybody spells it. The AP style book spells it A-D-V-I-S-E-R. Just to be different. Just to be obstinate. I swear to God, you read any newspaper, you go to any newspaper, and the word advisor is spelled with an E-R, not an O-R. So that's why you should not say, that's why you should take all your advice on grammar from the Rick Emerson Show. On all things, this show should be your benchmark, your bellwether, your, the other thing. That's like that, but it is not. And so forth. Forthwith. There art. Jibbity jibbity. Rat-a-tat-tat. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa. How are you today?
Hello to you, Rick. How are you?
I am dandy, is what I am. I am not fine. I am just dandy. Maybe later on the program I will be both dandy and fine, but that is a matter of speculation right now and not anything that we can state definitively.
Well, I'm glad that you admit that.
Okay. Hey, what is the buzz, as they say? What are people saying about this Barack ad that's going around, the 1984 ad?
Yeah, you know, that is getting a lot of talk. And I got to admit, though, Washington, they're mostly distracted. I think the Barack-Hillary fight, everyone was so into it. This week, I don't know, the attention is honestly more on the Attorney General and the White House, Iraq, those kinds of things. So it's getting a little bit of a buzz. But honestly, people are, I think the blood in town... the people that have the blood is really in the Justice Department. That's where people smell the blood, right?
Here's a dumb question, and I don't mean to sound cynical, but when it comes to this business of the Attorney General and the Justice Department and all of these firings and everything, I mean. Is this being pushed more by actual idealistic ideology in terms of the following of the law, or are the Democrats really pushing this because they think it's some sort of domino that's going to make everything fall?
Oh, gee, how am I to guess?
From your
motive.
Read on the political landscape, is
how
this...
How am I to guess? Well,
I mean,
it's very hard for me to imagine that Democrats are completely oblivious to the fact that something that's bad for the president and for Karl Rove is probably good for them. And they it would be bizarre if they weren't factoring that in, to say the least. Now, is that the primary factor for them? It could be, but it may also not be. This comes down to a balance of power issue as well, that the White House and the Attorney General were appointing U.S. attorneys to fill these spots without going through the Senate. So they really were sort of superseding the Senate's power, and that does go beyond party lines. That's really a White House versus Congress issue, a balance of power. You know, and Democrats are accusing the president of being arrogant, of abusing power in other situations, and they say this is another example of that. So I think that there is some sincerity about the concern here, but I think there are some issues that are much more political than others. I think getting Karl Rove to testify, for example, I'm not sure. We don't know how much light that's going to shed on things, but it seems that even kind of yanking it up before Congress, it feels a little bit political to me, but certainly he may have some light to shed on this.
Let's just say this. The accusing George W. Bush of being arrogant is a little bit like accusing Linda Lovelace of being a flirt. You know what I mean? It doesn't really...
Oh, geez.
I don't really know that it underscores the reality of the situation. I guess really my question comes from... When I ask whether the Democrats are doing this because they think it's going to start some chain reaction, or it's going to be, you know, that they're constantly looking for Bush to have his own Watergate or his own Waterloo, something that starts with water, I guess what it comes down to is, do they really think that Americans care enough about this for it to have the desired effect? Because let's be honest, it doesn't really matter, in a pragmatic sense, it doesn't really matter how big your crime is if no one cares. Do you know what I mean? There are all kinds of people, people who would claim, correctly or not, that the Clintons did everything, it caused Mount Vesuvius to erupt. But it doesn't really matter because Americans didn't care about any of that.
I think the political bottom line on this kind of thinking, I think there is a sincere... situation here that Congress needs to get to the bottom of, dealing with the balance of power and perhaps honesty in the Justice Department, perhaps. But I think when you're talking about these kinds of issues, it's really all about the flavor. It doesn't matter what the specifics are. The new game in town, the PR game here, sad to say, is about kind of casting shadows. It's almost like the way you might talk about a sports team. Let's say I'm a Redskins fan, of course, and when I think about the Dallas Cowboys in the 80s, I just think about a bunch of punks. Now, Dallas Cowboys fans would say, come on, they were a fantastic team. But the fact is, because they had a couple of criminal incidents there, that's all I remember and that's all I care to remember. I don't know what they were. It's the flavor of that team,
right,
that I don't like. And that's what Democrats want to do to Republicans. They want to say, look at this, 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 and this. And people may not even remember the specifics, but they have this idea that something's not on the up and up, and that the White House is not really playing it straight, not honest, and they don't like it. And that's what Democrats are trying to do.
I think you've actually just crystallized for me why the Democrats are just so hapless when it comes to this. I think this you may in fact have really exposed what it is here. It's that, as you said, it's all about how you're going to position whoever it is that you are running against. It's about how they are going to be perceived by the great unwashed. And I think what the Democrats are constantly doing, let's reverse this. The Republicans are constantly, I really ought to just demand that Dick Morris be conferenced in on these calls from now on. What the Republicans are able to do really well is to paint the Democrats as being weak and spineless and ineffectual. Whether that's true or not, they're able to depict the Democrats as being sort of a do-nothing, wishy-washy, beta male kind of party.
I mean, well, yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying that's accurate, but I'm saying that's the Republicans' game.
Right.
The Democrats are constantly trying to paint the Republicans as being dark and nefarious and evil and strong-arming everybody,
mm-hmm,
not realizing, I think, that all of those things are, in their own horrible sort of way, what the American people kind of embrace in leaders. They really do. Americans do want somebody who will go in and sort of beat ass when it's necessary. Someone who has power and is not afraid to use it, even if they are not, strictly speaking, doing the right... You know what it is? I think that Americans, as much as Americans claim that they want a virtuous and honorable police force, we don't mind a child molester being beaten with a phone book in a station house basement every now and again. And so I think when the Democrats try to paint the Republicans as being too powerful for their own good, I don't really know that that has a negative connotation for the American public the way that the Democrats want it to.
That is an interesting point. It's hard for me to think that... I don't know how much of America thinks that, but I think you're right that at least some of America looks at it that way.
Yeah. Well,
that's really interesting.
I don't know. It's just one of those things that I don't know. Maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. But it does seem like the Democrats just sort of, the more they rev themselves up, the more their wheels just kind of dig into sand and go nowhere on this.
So they may have, I mean, the Attorney General, there's no question that perception or reality or the mix of both as it seems to be here, he's having a hard time. He's got a bad situation on two fronts. He's got this the whole U.S. attorney situation, which is complicated and confusing. But he also has these national security letters which allow the FBI to get any information they want, essentially, without a warrant. And now it turns out the FBI really was issuing thousands more than they reported and weren't really. So that goes to either abuse of power or neglect of power, and that's a serious situation as well for this attorney general.
And then of course on the other front they've got this that funding bill is going to come with the ties war funding to a mandated deadline for removal of troops from Iraq, but Bush is going to veto that, and that's going to be the end of that most likely.
Right, if it even gets out of the Senate. And in fact, here's the deal, Rick. Now it seems like the Democrats are having problems in the House getting that passed. I just was talking to the majority leader just a couple hours ago, and even he said, you know, I don't know that I have the 218 votes I need. I think I will have them by the time we vote Thursday or Friday on that bill. But everyone admits they may have to push that vote back because they don't think they have the votes. One of the problems is they have what's called a whip team, which is, you know, whip everybody in line, get your votes together. And it turns out that one of the members of their whip team is actually trying to get people to vote against that bill. Two other members are non-committal. So even the Democratic leadership is having a hard time with that bill right now.
And you know the Republicans would never tolerate such dissent. You know that the Republicans, they'd be like Darth Vader doing the force choke on that guy. They would be, I find your lack of faith disturbing. And they would just, I mean, they would have those guys in a brig somewhere. So, all right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, I can't fix all the world's problems in one day. So I do the best I can, but it's not my fault if they don't listen. So, all right. Well, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And you do sound like you're back at 100% today.
Yeah, I feel like it. I do.
Excellent. All right, enjoy your day. We'll talk to you soon, Lisa.
Okay, you too.
There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. Fascinated by my political insights and wisdom, as always. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. People just sending me a bunch of I'm just getting it. Nothing but hideous Gene Simmons photos now. Rick. I think the snort button was used in the 80s for something entirely different. Rick, in two consecutive comments today, you told Sarah she was both lovely and filled with pus. Way to be a smooth talker.
You're very smooth.
Michael in Seaside, P.S., did you ever... Oh, no, I didn't do this. He said, did you ever review the Jim Roop Epic Freeway? No, and he's the guy who sent it to me, Michael in Seaside. Oh, damn it.
Bad person.
I hate me. I'm going to do that. I will do that not tonight. Probably. Because you know why I got to watch that, and then I got The Big Lebowski, which I've never watched, which Jeff McGinley was good enough to lend me, which is just sitting on top of my television, to be collecting dust. And I got a whole bunch of friends who are never going to speak to me if I don't watch it. But like Joni, every time I mention that I haven't seen The Big Lebowski, it's like her eyes are just filled with a murderous black hate. So I got to get that taken care of.
You know, and a lot of people aren't as impressed with your conversation with Lisa Goddard as you were. I got an email from a listener. I don't know, Sarah, the lovely Miss Goddard doesn't seem as impressed with Rick as she used to be. He needs to step it up a notch if he
intends
to steal it from the Sporbert.
That is not true. Did you hear when I made that observation comparing the Republicans to Vic Mackey on The Shield and so forth? And she's like, I don't know. That's a really interesting point. I gave her pause.
But she didn't say fascinating. She said interesting.
Well, fascinating will come later after she's analyzed it. She was so overwhelmed that she wasn't really able to speak to whether it was fascinating. It was so compelling to her that she's going to have to go sit in a dark place for a while and sort of think about it. Sons of bitches. You bastards. All right, should we make the big announcement?
Oh, let's do it.
Do we have a... You sound really into it. Do we have a drum roll?
We built this Starbucks!
Oh.
That's not a drum roll.
I don't have a drum roll.
Oh,
hold on. Maybe I have a
drum roll. No. Hold on, I have something. That's not a drum roll either.
You're in the lion's den!
No. No, I've got nothing. There you go. Genius. That really is the money shot of all of these sound effects cavalcades. All right, so it is, 10 minutes to 12. So today is Tuesday, March 20th. So we are now announcing today. And it doesn't even seem, it really does seem just crazy. We've been doing this retarded show for so long. We are now proud to announce.
Yeah.
April 19th, Thursday, April 19th, Thursday, April 19th, Barracuda, 7 p.m., listener party. And somebody yesterday, somebody who works here. And he goes, well, what is it, like 5, 6, something like that? And it's actually 10. It is listener, but the 10th listener party. Now, you know, it's almost our 10th anniversary having been on as a show.
Pretty
this show,
close.
In one form or another, it's almost been 10 years that we've been on. 10 years of my life, but I will never get back doing this program here in the lovely metropolis of Portland. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, which is coming up Thursday, April 19th. Thursday, April 19th, Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 or Listener Party X or whatever. I don't even, that's we have more to reveal as we go forward. The weeks go on, we have stuff, and this is, and I will say now, more than ever, we are going to need your help on this for reasons that we don't have time to get into right now.
I just wanted to give you a heads up so you can take off Friday.
Yes, that's the thing, April 20th.
So it's a month from the day that you're going to be seriously hungover.
Yeah,
today.
So 1 month from today, yes, you will be unable to move and possibly lying in your own spume. So Thursday, April 19th, Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. 10? 10. The 10th listener party is coming up. No name as of yet. We'll come up with that at some point. We'll throw it out to y'all, see what we come up with name-wise. And we may have time to talk about this a little bit later on today. But we are going to need your help for this listener party in a very big way. It's going to have all of the stuff that everybody, that we've done at the last listener party. It's going to have all the stuff that you've come to sort of know and love and fear and dread and revel in and vomit from. But there's going to be sort of an extra twist on this one. There's going to be something we're doing this time that's a little bit, it's a little bit different. So it's still just going to be a bunch of drunks and sluts, basically. But there's going to be a sort of extra layer. There's going to be an extra sort of shell of goodness on it that we're going to talk about in a while. So be listening for further details. But spread the word. Book your rehab now. It is Thursday, April 19th. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 coming up. So be listening for more details on that as we move forward. Let me do these, and then we'll break. Rod, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah.
I heard a local feel-good story.
Yes.
About a blind man who was opened the auto mechanic store.
Was that here where he hired a deaf guy?
Within the metro area.
Tim, do you have that story?
His assistant is deaf.
All right, thank you, Rod. I saw that. I didn't know it was here. Thank you so much. That's Rod. There you go. I saw that this morning, but I didn't pull it because I didn't realize it was local. There is a feel-good story, I swear to God, about a blind auto mechanic who just hired a deaf assistant. I didn't know that was in Portland. Well, we'll try to find it. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley around the corner with the Ministry of Truth, the AM 970 Noon News Hour. You stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show.
The message is, Mars needs women.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed.